0818 715 815.
Hello, good afternoon. You're very welcome to Liveline. Cullum O'Mungine here. You can call us on 0818 715 815. WhatsApp us on 087 184 3709. Email joe@rte.ie or text us on 51551. Mary, you're in hospital, but Eurovision didn't put you there.
No, they didn't. No. Hello, Cullum. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. You watched it and...
I did.
Were you surprised with the outcome?
I was, because I'll tell you something. They're such a professional and well-known band, and I thought that production would have got behind them a lot more. And I think he looked lost up on that, whatever the stairs were meant to be, I don't know. But it was such a flat performance. There was no get up and go. And the song itself was a good song, like they'd every chance of going through. But it just was blah, is the only way I could describe it. So I don't know what the production value was, because when they performed it at the original, you know, at the beginning and on the late, there was more pizzazz about it then, and this was just below par, really, really awful.
Do you think maybe it's a song that would have filled a smaller venue better than it did the big arena in Liverpool?
I just think that they didn't take into account the size of the stage, and I think the four lads could have made it work for them if they'd had a better production behind them.
All right, well, hit us with the positives there. What did you like about it when you saw it on the late night show? What did you think was even good about it last night when you saw it?
Oh, last night, I have to say, his gold glammy one piece, for sure. I take that every time. He looked amazing. The drummer was amazing. The way at the end they all came together. But it was like each of them were doing their own thing, and he really didn't know where he should be or what he should be doing. And at times he kind of dropped the mic to sort of sing with the crowd rather than sing the song. And I think it was just lost. Even the camera angles weren't great. You know, you kind of didn't get to see him when he was on full whack of the song. And it was just, there was just no production behind it. Like, you know, I know it was a smaller stage in the studio, but Jesus Christ, there was nothing. I expected more bang for my buck.
And do you think it suffered by comparison once you saw the other international acts up? Is that maybe what changed your mind about it?
Yeah, it just was flat. I mean, when you see what came after, I don't know whether it was the Croatian lads with their underpants and shorts. I mean, there was a production there, even if it was a bit sort of left of centre. But our lads just, so it was like they just came out, did their 2.5 minutes, and that was it. I mean, he just looked lost on those stairs. I don't know what they were for.
And do you think he got into it as the song went on? Because it does start quietly, and then he ran out to the front of the stage, and it was hands in the air, and the mic in the air, the whole bit.
You could see, Cullum, where that song could have been bigged up even more. You could see where the potential was there to make it a huge display.
And normally, hold that thought, because we're going to anyone who missed it for whatever reason, and if they haven't heard it during the week, here's a flavour of it now.
Oh, life can be a long road, but at least you're not alone.
So there you go, Mary. It's got an inclusive message. It's got a talented band fronting it up. Does it not have everything that should progress to the next round?
No, I think if they'd have had a bigger production behind it, it sounded exactly the same as it did on the late. And every song that's gone through that system, which I think is a fault system, has been given a huge big production behind it once it got to Eurovision. I don't know where the ball was dropped, but for me, that's where it was dropped. They should have got behind them. Bells, whistles, the whole nine yards, and they didn't do it for them. And I think they were let down by that, because the song in itself is a great song.
All right, Paul,
and it would have gotten through without question if they'd had a bigger production behind it.
Well, let's hear what it sounded like on the ground in Liverpool. Paul McKeown, you were in Liverpool, so what was your reaction to it? How did you think the lads did?
Hello, Colin. How are you? I'm here in the Eurovision Village. It's crazy here with lots of music and drinks. There's a lot of sore heads of Irish fans who are very disappointed. But they're realistic. I thought the performance, it's not a dig at Wild Youth. Let's act out there. They represent their country excellent. They're a great band. They did the best they could. There's no surprise on my part they didn't qualify. Well, I suppose it's a good song. A good song will not win Eurovision. It certainly won't qualify for the finals. So, and that's not a dig at Wild Youth. But again, they did what they could with a song. It's a song contest. And the production, yeah, you could jazz up more. It still probably wouldn't have qualified. It just was an okay song on the night, which wasn't good enough yet again to qualify us for the Eurovision final.
So is your issue with the song or with the performance of a good song?
So I suppose if you look where Ireland was very successful in winning Eurovision way back, which was very basic, they had a national selection unlike what we have at the moment. But it was good songs that won. I think the format has to be changed. At the end of the day, it's representing Ireland. If it was a football team, the manager would be sacked by now. We haven't qualified in 6 years. So someone is held accountable for this. And I agree with Mary there, saying that the RTE studio, where we listen to the songs, it isn't the right format as such. They have a very basic studio to be chosen. And I really think somebody has to go back to basics for Ireland now to have a good chance with a great song to get us back in the finals.
Or you think it should be trialled in a big arena before it ever leaves the country, do you?
Well, it's a given it's going to be in a big arena. You know, when you put a song forward for any country, it's going to be in, like, Liverpool is actually one of the smallest arenas it's had. It probably has 8,000 to 10,000 people, but other stadiums throughout Europe who host it probably have 15 to 20,000. All this is a given at the time of selection. This is, you know, the biggest.
Keep doing it. We can't keep doing it through the Late Late Show. It's not a big enough format. We need to go back to allowing all songwriters to come in with new songs and go to the public and watch and listen. We're not doing that, and that's where we're failing. You get 5 or 6 songs chosen just to go on to the Late Late. That's ridiculous. Yeah. You know, we need a bigger format.
Right. Well, we put into RTE for a statement on this, and they said they're extremely proud of Wild Youth and the performance they put in. They said they were brilliant, fantastic performance. They say approaches have varied regarding the selection process down through the years, national selections, internal selection, late Euro song, and details regarding the selection process for future national selections are reviewed every year. Mary, what would you change about the selection process if you could change one thing about it?
Go back to the good old days when it was a national song contest where they chose, you know, everyone had a shot at putting a song forward. It seems to me that there's a selected few each year get the chance to do it and give it back to the people to pick and vote on.
All right. Owen Jackson, you're in Liverpool as well.
I am.
You were in the arena last night.
It was amazing, and I tell you, the amount of support for the Irish entry there—it was like a home match nearly. There were so many because Liverpool is such a kind of—they love Ireland over here anyway. It's been just brilliant, and there was a huge support in the arena last night for Ireland. They were, it was great. It was a great experience, and it came across well live, I thought.
So we were just
from
in the wrong.
I was sitting anyway.
We were in the wrong group. Is that it? Because Britain didn't have a vote last night. So is that what happened to us?
Yeah.
We had no allies, did we not?
We didn't, but that doesn't always decide things. You know, we could have. I'd say we were marginal with getting through. Unfortunately, they went back to all televoting for this semi-final, and televoting has its own inherent problems. We don't tend to benefit from that because we don't have like a big diaspora across Europe. So that's always going to put us on the back foot every year, fortunately.
Right. So where would you have ranked? Would you have ranked Wild Youth in the top 10, Owen?
Well, okay, right. If we're talking about personal taste, as my personal taste, I would have that second after Serbia overall. But, like, that's not just patriotism. I just like the song. But, like, from what I've heard from music critics in the press, it hasn't been lauded as a very credible, modern, up-to-date song. This is the unfortunate fact that can't be gotten around. So I would have considered it, professionally, I would have considered it a borderline qualifier that maybe it could have scraped through, but one of the ones likely to miss out, unfortunately.
Right, so you liked it, but you could see why other people wouldn't.
Yeah, personally, I liked it, but I could see why it didn't get through. I wasn't... Last night, I expected it wouldn't get through.
All right, talk us through your...
Even though it was great.
You mentioned that it was like a home crowd there last night. So who were you mingling with, and what were they saying about the song?
I'm over here with my sister, Clodagh, and there were a few Irish fans sitting beside me who I was chatting to. They were all, like, Clodagh, now, she was like me. She knows all the internet. She follows the Eurovision obsessively. So she knew we were, you know, very much at risk of not qualifying from what the word was on the ground. However, she got caught up in Eurovision fever, and she thought we were going to qualify, and she was really annoyed we didn't, really disappointed.
Right, and where did
you
she...
Know,
did
it's
she...
very hard not to get caught up in the atmosphere, you know.
What did she think went wrong?
She'd be of a similar opinion to me that... Ireland has problems in general in the Eurovision that aren't our fault, whereby we're never going to, you know, get extra points, 3 points from the televote unless the UK or Australia are voting in our semi. We just don't have the allies, and that can make the difference when you're talking about the difference between 12th or 9th. It can make a massive difference if you get a random 10 points from some country where you have a large expat population. That's right. That's the main problem. And also that, I don't know, I thought the band performed better on the Late Show than they did last night. A little bit of, they seemed a little bit disheartened, I thought.
And what's the atmosphere, how do you gauge in the room the reaction to the different bands? Where would you have put the reaction in the room to the Irish act by comparison to, say, some of the other ones that went through, like Mary mentioned earlier, Israel?
Israel, well, I thought that looked like a potential winner last night. I don't know. I thought that was very good. There were a few that got smaller reactions that did go through, like Portugal and was it Switzerland? No, Switzerland went down well. It's hard to know, but it was one of the... I would have said it was one of the biggest reactions after Czech Republic, Finland and Sweden, probably, in the arena, I'd say.
Right. And what was the reaction to Croatia like? Because in the end, they wound up in string vests and underpants with T-shirts with pictures of I don't know who on it.
Do you remember the Eurovision from, like, the mid-2000s, by any chance, the kind of acts that were in? Like, for example, Dustin the Turkey, and there were a few, like, mad ones. That's the thing, is when you have pure televoting deciding the result, anything that's, like, completely back, like, crazy like that... will have a better chance because it's fun and people will say, I'm voting for that mad thing. You know, so that's televoting. That's one of the problems with having pure televote is that the crazy ones will have their fans.
Right. So, but if it was the Euro Audio Song Contest, the same acts mightn't get through. Well, let's listen to Croatia there, because as you say, there was people wearing, if you didn't see it, they were wearing a kind of a hybrid military police uniform. It ended up with underpants and string vests at the end, and there was a fellow who looked like Ming the Merciless, not the politician, the Flash Gordon character, with two rockets in his hands, spitting sparks by the end of it. It looked like there was some kind of a war reference, but the acts aren't supposed to be political. Anyway, here's what it sounded like. Could you make head nor tail of the sound of it, or was it about the performance, Owen?
Personally, once again, I like that song as a song. I know there's no accounting for taste, but it's not credible as a piece of music that would be in the charts, like, obviously. But it was about the visuals. That's it. It's Eurovision Song Contest. So you're looking at it, and it's about people are voting, and they'll vote on what they like. And what they like might necessarily be just the song. It might be that they think the singer is hot, that they think the act is funny. There's all kinds of reasons people vote. It's not a pure music contest anymore.
All right, Dahi, the visuals of it, you're just home from Liverpool. The visuals of it, do you think that's where Ireland fell down?
Yeah, very much so. And it was not just last night on the stage in Liverpool. I think it started back from the Late Late Show or even prior to that. I think ultimately that the Late Late Show is very much the wrong vehicle to choose the Irish entry. And as an example of that, like to win the Eurovision these days, you need to get an awful lot of traction from when the song is first chosen. And the first video or the first clip of the Irish entry that hit YouTube and, you know, that hit the Eurovision community back in February or March was the Late Late Show presentation of it, which is substandard on the European level. following that, then the...
Well, just stop on that point for the moment. So your view of it is that even in the small studio setting, regardless of how things are selected, you need to focus intently on it going viral on social media before it's even discussed as a contender at Eurovision.
That's what it takes these days to be successful in the competition. All of the entries this year, and particularly the Swedish entry, that has gained so much traction on social media, on YouTube, WhatsApp, prior to the contest being held this week, that the listeners are already and the voters are already familiar with those songs. And just to come back to just the other point is that subsequent to the selection of the Irish entry, there was an official music entry for this year's entry for the Irish song, an official music video released. And that video is absolutely unbelievably bad. It's so poor in production values and in the costumes that the guys are wearing. It is so bad that the song was never going to get any traction, and any traction it was going to get was going to be for the wrong reasons.
And are you in the production line yourself? You sound like somebody who's, you know, you're commenting on the production values. And that is this your bag as work-wise?
Far from it, but the main appeal of the contest for me is just the visuals and the stage design and so on. If I was in a different career, I think it's definitely what I would have gone into. But just like judging by previous entries of different countries over the years and this year's entries of different countries, the Irish proposal this year was just far deficient. It was very, very poor. And even just on a very simple level, as I told your researcher earlier, the name of the song is We Are One. You know, it should be an uplifting rock anthem. But instead, last night and for the past, in all interpretations of the song, it sang like a very angry rock song. You know, there's a
complete
mismatch.
It also led to a few unfortunate puns in the tabloids this morning, with the Star running with We Are Gone and We Are Done in the Sun.
Yeah. I don't want to knock the guys when they're down. I'm sure it's a very hard day for them. But it's, you know, like, I think that the blame should be with RTE as well. That, like, the guys, the main singer's vocals were not up to strength last night. And that's just demonstrated by the clip that you played earlier in the show. It was extremely poor. And likewise, you know, they're a band of four, but the focus was too much on the lead singer, who was angry. And then all the other members of the band were extremely happy with smiley faces. So there was just a complete mismatch between the title of the song, the message of the song, and then how it was delivered on the stage.
So what would you change about the entry the next time around then?
I would definitely what needs to happen is, and this conversation, it's like an annual follow-up to the contest itself in the past few years, that people start coming into Liveline, and the consensus has always been that it needs to be taken off the Late Late Show, and whoever the new presenter is, hopefully they have the power somewhat to give it its own forum. But it needs to be taken off the Late Late Show, and I think that, first of all, a competition is a good thing. I don't like the idea that you just select a song and a singer and send them off. A competition is always a good thing, but do it in the right way and probably use modern means to do it. Like, there should be scouts going to all the music festivals across the country this summer and say, listen, I'm going back to some of the RTE, said, look, I saw this act, they would be absolutely brilliant on a big stage, and they rock the crowd here at whatever festival it be it Electric Picnic, All Together Now, or whatever it is. And likewise, there should be someone scouting social media, the likes of TikTok, which I'm not that familiar with, but they should be looking for up-and-coming bands on that level, because that's where it'll all start feeding, and that's where we will eventually turn the circle around.
All right.
But likewise, if you don't mind, just one last point as well. Like, we're talking about non-qualification for the final here as well, and there's a bit of a Roy Keane in me as well. Like, qualification is not just good enough. If we're going to be entering it, we should be aiming to win it. Like, RTE and everyone seems to just have the target, you know, if we qualify this year, that's going to be a start. Like, that's not good enough. We should be always aiming to win it if we're going to go to the expense and the bother of sending people over there. And over the past few years now, like, it's 26 years, I think, since we won it. You know, so there's 26 or maybe 25 acts, because Jedward was twice. But it's 25 acts out there who have gone through this misery, and it's not right.
All right. Michael, you think it's time to just throw the hat in?
I'm just listening to some of your callers there, and I'm stunned. First of all, I thought they were excellent. And for years, I would be one of those guys who followed you for I'm a little bit older than some of your callers there, so I would go back. Times have changed. We're not back in the days of Dana, where we just sat in a box or went out with a dicky bow. Now, for years, we went out without a band, without drums, without this, without that. last night we decided for the first time, and I was very impressed, that we sent guys out. I said this years ago, I think I said it on the radio as well, we need to change the whole atmosphere of a group. We need to get drums. We need to get synthesizers. We need to get guitars. We need to get, you know, I don't care if they're 60 years of age. If they can play a guitar and out there, we need. So we did that. We absolutely did that. It's easy for us in Ireland to criticize this band. It is hard for them. It's very hard for to go out there. I don't care where it's in Liverpool or Corktown, and sing to the world, the whole of Europe, and the amount of people there. It's easy for us to criticize. And we're doing this today. It's wrong. It is wrong. It's wrong. I thought they'd done an excellent job. So I really did. But
so it had all the ingredients you're talking about, Michael. I mean, it had Las Vegas-style suits. It had drums. It had guitars. It had interaction with the audience. So what didn't it have?
First of all, it didn't have the backing of Europe. Now, Europe is like a little club. They always voted for each other every year. Now, as you said earlier on, and you're bang on, you're dead right, and congratulations, what you said, we haven't been even in it for so long. Because Europe, I don't know what it is. They just...
What did we do to them?
I know you, you know me. We vote for you, you vote me. It has nothing to do with the performance. You could go out there. Some of the songs were atrocious last night. They were brutal. Absolutely brutal. But what covered the badness there was the laser lights. It's, you know what I mean? It's just what we're going down. You put on fabulous costumes. As you said earlier on, some fella came out with an underpants. It's just the road we're going down to try and win. No, thank God, Ireland's not going down that road. You must be joking. But this is what's happening. The weirder you are, going into a Eurovision Song Contest, the chances you have better. Mm-hmm. Now, Ireland, we're certainly never going to go down that road. But as I said, like, you know, it's so sad. But we have come up. And
you blame the competition. Ireland is just isolated, you think, and there's no way around that, no matter what we put into it.
Yeah, we could look at, we could get the best band, and we could go around. And one chap was saying there, we'll go around now and we'll suss out bands. You could get the best young pop band in Ireland, and it still wouldn't keep Europe happy because they all back each other up. They're neighbours. Some of them last night that got through, I'm stunned how they even got on the stage.
Paul, what do you think of that analysis? It was stacked against us anyway, says Michael.
We're always stacked against us. We are out on our own a bit. But first of all, I want to say none of us here are dishing against Wild Youth. As I said in my beginning, they did an amazing job for the song they had, and they have represented Ireland greatly throughout the competition. So that's one thing I just want to say out there. But I agree, it is quirky, it is mad, there's underpants, lap dances, everything. But that's the Eurovision.
So it's what you do. You think we should go down that road?
All right, Michael, go on. What are you saying?
Yeah. I said 180 million watch this, possibly hundreds of millions vote. And the best song, majority of the time, will win. So, and it's down to preference. Like Croatia, I actually liked too. Like on there, it's down to what you like, and if he had his underpants on, it was a quirky song.
Right.
Well, be it. But I don't think
we were wearing too much, Michael.
Well, no, the thing about it, look, if we went out there with suits and dicky bows and electric guitars, we'd be laughed at. So we have to come up with a time. These are young guys. I mean, the lead singer there last night, he's only a young man. So, you know, and it's the this song contest is flamboyant. It has been for years and years. I mean, the time, as somebody said, maybe we should go back to the old days where we just go out with Dicky Bones. Those days are gone.
All right, well, we're going to hear a bit more from the lads in the underpants there, because we have a slightly longer clip than the one we played the last time. I'm now, Michael. Imagine.
That's atrocious. It really
I think they were singing about it. It sounded like, "Mommy, I'm driving a tractor," but I don't speak. Yeah, I don't speak Serbo Croat.
Like, it sounded that they were all in pain. But now I haven't. I will watch the other one now on Thursday because the United Kingdom are in that one. But as I said, like, no, we should hold our hands up. We are. Sometimes we can be our own worst enemies. We love them when they go out. And then when they don't get anywhere, we criticise them. That's wrong.
All right.
That is wrong.
Jacinta,
they've done a great job.
Jacinta, you think the odds are stacked against us as well, do you?
Oh, I definitely do. And do you know something? I almost had to put earplugs in when you played that song from Croatia. I mean,
did you have to put a blindfold on when you watched it last night? Did you have to avert your eyes on the television as they began to peel off?
Absolutely. And did you see the German one? That was demonic. I really don't know. But I thought the lads last night, I thought they were absolutely fantastic. Now, you see, it's all a matter of opinion. But I was very, very, I was annoyed that we didn't get in because I felt that they did very well. I wasn't crazy about the jumpsuit, but I felt so sorry for them. And the songs that did get in, there was one or two that I liked. But I think it's just gone far too big. It's all multicultural. And it's nearly Eastern European vision. And you see, all these countries have
different. It's called Eurovision. You know, it's not Eurovision. It's not Britivision. It's all over Europe. It's stretched until they invaded Ukraine. It's stretched out to Russia. Before Russia was excluded to it, but it also includes Israel, Australia. It's all over Europe.
Yeah, true enough. Yeah,
so that it is multicultural. It's nothing if not multicultural.
I mean, do they know? Sorry,
Jacinta.
Yeah, you're okay. Go on. I really feel that we should nearly pull in the towel at this stage because I just feel, you know, countries can vote 20 times for each other and it seems to be political all the time.
Yeah. But is it time to go political? Because the national foreign policy is called Global Ireland. Maybe it's time for the embassies to start schmoozing people ahead of time and build those political alliances in order to get better votes in the Eurovision. Should this be made part of the national foreign policy?
True.
Yeah, I do.
The other thing is, you know, all these dancers that come on, I mean, I don't see that that's necessary an awful lot of the time. I mean, that song, you remember Rock and Roll Kids? That was absolutely wonderful. And we have the girl from Sweden who, the entry is very, very like the one that she won with years ago, which was called Euphoria. You know, I could have done without the nails. But I think it's all a question of people's cultural differences and musical. Yeah. I just get so disappointed year after year.
What acts did you like from last night? I mean, the ones that were being backed were Sweden, Israel. What ones appealed to you from last night?
The one that I liked was the Switzerland one. I thought that was very, very poignant. I thought that he, you know, put an awful lot of emotion into it. I did actually like the Israel one, but she certainly did aerobics on the stage, that's for sure.
Yeah, she
had
left
a fantastic
nothing out.
Voice. Yeah, she certainly didn't, no.
As every coach around the country says, leave nothing on the pitch, she left nothing on the pitch.
She left nothing on the pitch with the bum in the air and everything else. Oh, my God.
I tell you what I liked.
Go on, Michael.
I tell you what I liked, and watch out for these two twins. There's something catchy. I watched it last night. There was no laser lights. There was none of this. It's just the road we're going down. So someone comes out flamboyant, and the laser lights are doing 150 miles an hour on the stage.
Do you think it's hypnotising people, Michael? Do you think there's an element of mass hypnosis going on with those laser lights?
It doesn't hypnotise them, it damages them. But these two guys, I don't know where they're from. I just caught some of the song, and I was very impressed. Yeah. They're two twins. They had the guitars. Simple. But as I said, no band behind them. There was just something about the song that caught my eye. And I think they will do.
John, you think politics was at play as well, following up with what Jacinta was saying, and indeed Michael as well. The UK vote is your biggest concern, is it, John?
It is indeed, Colin. I just I looked at the show last night. I enjoyed it. I thought it was great. Yes, there was some dodgy songs that were played in it. And the one song that I could vote for was the Portuguese entry. I thought that was a lovely little catchy number. Yes. But
that was catchy. That was good. Sorry to interrupt.
All right, Michael, Michael, the people you were talking about, was that was Azerbaijan, the twins from Azerbaijan. They're Tural and Turan Bagmanov.
Yeah. Sorry. Yeah, but just to get back to the four lads, the four Dublin lads who have put in they've put in the shift to get to where they are today, and they've been supporting huge big acts all over Ireland, all over the UK.
Yeah,
and I just felt that the fact that UK people weren't permitted to vote last night had a huge big impact on the result, because those lads would have been really well known in the UK from supporting Ed Sheeran and people like that doing the stadium tours. I know people were on earlier on about the production values and getting bands that do the big stadium tours and all this. And this band does all that. They do. That's their living. They do all that as their living.
So does it matter? Does it matter to them in the long term? This is, you know, they're playing on the Eurovision. Obviously, it was an opportunity, but it's not the be-all and the end-all. One Direction were on X Factor. They never won. Rebecca Ferguson, who played last night, never won. Ollie Murs didn't win either. So losing a competition isn't career-ending either.
No, it's a door open for them.
I don't think it's.
Hang on, let John in.
Yeah, I don't think a performance in the Eurovision is career-ending. Just look at Linda Martin. Linda Martin went on to make a huge, big career for herself following our win in Sweden. Johnny Logan, massive in Europe. So, you know, the legacy is there for your performance in Eurovision. Whether you lose or you don't qualify or not is not the point. I think the performance last night by the boys was excellent. I thought the staging of it was good. They even brought the stairs over from the Late Late Show, which was a nice little addition. But I do think that I do think that the likes of the voting that's happening at the moment, the televoting is a new phenomenon that they've brought in the last 10, 15 years or so, and losing the judging panels from each country.
Oh, definitely.
Where the judging panels go on the value of the song, because after all, it's not the Eurovision performance competition, it's the Eurovision song contest.
All right,
and
okay.
It's the song that should be voted on.
And we'll drill into a bit more about that after this.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815. Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
You can text us on 51551 or WhatsApp us on 087 184 3709. Email joe@rt.ie. Colm O'Mungon here. Oh, and you think there's political reform needed for Eurovision? The voting system
needs to
change.
Yeah, like people talk about politics, but I think it's not so much politics as cultural voting, where diasporas are voting, you know, in certain countries. Romania will get points from Spain, Armenia will get points from France, and so on. So there's a two-tier system where certain countries benefit and others don't. Well, I think there are two things RT needs to do to try and just make it that we don't have this discussion every year, right?
Bring America into Eurovision by the sounds of it.
That would help, yeah. But no, what I think they should do is club together with some of the other broadcasters from Belgium, Netherlands, Austria, San Marino, UK, who also don't benefit from the diaspora voting, and see can they find some kind of solution from the EBU about the problem inherent in the televoting, because it's just not a level playing field. And if they could put their heads together and come up with something there, that'd be one thing to do. The second thing I would suggest to RT to try and, you know, make things better is in their statement, they said that they tried this, tried that, tried Eurostar, tried whatever, different formats, and that they weren't successful. What I think they need to do is pick a good format and stick with it, regardless of the results. Forget about the results. Just get a good domestic big contest that we can enjoy and that we send something we're proud of, regardless of trying to use gimmicks to win Eurovision. That's not the way to approach
right.
it.
Well,
the Eurovision was
in Liverpool. Ukraine won it last year, but it obviously had to be held in Liverpool because of the Russian invasion. And that's because the UK won it. Now, after Brexit and everything else, there wasn't a big love bombing campaign for the UK, and yet they won it, presumably on the merits of the act.
Exactly. See, the thing about this is it's really hard to listen to people who don't. I have micro-analysed this thing to within an inch of its death. I'm such a nerd about this.
You think this is a diaspora thing, do you? That the UK got through.
If it comes to winning, right? If you send in a brilliant song, Europe will all get behind this, like with Sam Ryder last year. Sam Ryder's second place, which is pretty much a win, that came after more than a decade of last places and bottom five finishes for England, for UK, I mean, I should say. So it's if you send a really good song, but the problem is, if you're from Netherlands or Ireland or Belgium or UK, you have to send an exceptional song to get top five. If you send a good song, you're likely to tank with it because of the diaspora stuff makes such a difference on the lower placings, but it doesn't affect the top three. If your song is good enough for top three, you're going to get it. But if your song isn't quite there, then you're going to do worse than you deserve to. And that is a problem because if you're a band like Wild Youth with a reputation and suddenly you go into this and because of factors beyond your control, you don't qualify, it's very shameful for you and you're subsessing. So that needs to be addressed by the delegations at Eurovision to try and fix the problems in television because that is what is damaging us year on year.
All right.
The last thing I would say is about our results. Over the last decade, we qualified for the final in 2013 and 2018. Both of those songs were completely Irish written. Every other song in that period was written by people from Sweden, the Netherlands, other places. Michael Keeley, the delegation head, seems to want to hire in talent. It's like he doesn't have faith in Irish people to do the job or something. But I think those jobs really need to go to choreographers and songwriters and people who are from here, something that we can really get behind and be proud of.
All right. I don't know whether you can discriminate on the basis of, in terms of hiring practice.
You shouldn't. That's xenophobic. You shouldn't do that. However, like certain countries like Sweden, for example, they would have a preference for Swedish songwriters, although they would welcome other writers. But like as a default, let's say they have 28 songs. Of the 28, 24 of them will be Swedish written, and there'll be a few that are from other writers, but the majority is to represent their nation with their music. That's kind of the point of yours, is you're coming together, but you're showing what you've got. You're coming out your stall rather than, I mean, if every single person imported a Swedish songwriter, that really wouldn't be a reflection of European culture.
Okay.
No one would like that version of the Eurovision.
James Smith, you agree politics is at play, but you think you found the reason for the grievance against Ireland?
Well, I think there's two parts of it. I think ever since the contest was opened up to more countries, I don't think Ireland has had a good chance ever since that. You know, since it was expanded, I don't know how long ago it was, but and certainly since the voting system changed, you know, and as the last caller said, we've only qualified twice in the last 10 years out of the semi-finals in 2013 and 2018. But I do also think that sending dust in that time still has us...
Our goose was cooked when we sent the turkey. Is that
yes,
it, effectively?
I do think Ireland has... We've not been forgiven for that, unfortunately. And as I was saying to your researcher, how do we make up for that?
The ritual sacrifice of dusting live on a Eurovision stage for the benefit of Europe.
We get Dustin's humour, but I don't think other countries in Europe get it. I think they might even be offended by just the fact that a puppet has been sent to represent the country in a major song contest. How do we get over it? Well, as the last caller was saying, you know, Irish songwriters, choreographers, take it away from the Late Late altogether and have it as a standalone national song contest and see how we go with that.
And how long would you make the selection process, Stuart? We've had suggestions that it should be there should be A&R men out trawling social media. I mean, is it a
camellia?
Do you let everybody in?
I think that a previous caller made the suggestion of sending talent scouts to festivals. I mean, you know, coming into the summer, there's going to be festivals up and down the country. You know, from the north to the south, there's going to be music festivals on. There's going to be talent, good talent at those festivals. So let's see what comes out of that. Like, I mean, as it is, the process for picking this song was started last October, I think, was it, or September? So it's a long enough process, and then it was picked in February. So, you know, we have the time to do it.
Right. There might be space on GAA Go to run some of the televised performances for us.
Let's not go there.
Okay, well, Paul Connaughton, you think it's turned into a bit of a circus, do you?
Oh, most definitely, yeah. It is a circus. I think it's the more outrageous you look, the better you seem to do, you know. And when I saw the underpants last night, I says, I'd throw the hat at it at this stage.
This is the Croatia. Did you see the Finnish fellow, the fellow who hopped out of the box? I think I counted about 27 pallets on the stage around him.
Oh, Jesus. No, I was flicking over from Champions League to that, you know, but I wasn't.
Where was the better action?
Oh, definitely in Madrid. Definitely in Madrid. No, I just think it's just totally outrageous. And I challenge anybody to tell me that they could hear the lyrics of any song, because they were smothered with the loud music. And I don't know. And there is definitely block voting. I mean, you'll see it in the actual contest itself when it comes round, whenever it is. You'll see the Baltic states voting for each other, the Scandinavians. You'll see Cyprus voting for Greece and Greece voting for Cyprus. And you'll see all that.
Right. You see quite a lot of outrageous antics in the Champions League as well. There's some exotic haircuts and there's plenty of diving and some bad acting as well.
Well, there is that, but slightly different. But I don't know where to go from here.
All right.
The
okay.
thing about it is they're talking about Irish songwriters. I mean, we have Phil Quartz that won for Ireland, and he also did the song for Cliff Richard. Congratulations. You have Brendan Graham. They're all great songwriters, you know. So,
all right, Christy Gallaghan.
By the way, Con, can I ask you one question before I let you go? Is this live line stint, is this a rehearsal for the Late Late Show?
Oh, I've officially withdrawn from that competition.
Have you?
Yeah. This is you heard it here first. This is an exclusive on that one.
I was on my way down to the bookies, but I'll fall back now.
Well, there you go. I'm glad I've saved you a few money. You can spend it on the license fee next year. All right, Christy Gallaghan, you're watching Eurovision for what? Over 60 years?
Well, I wasn't watching it for over 60 years. I stopped watching it when I saw a stuffed turkey go down for Ireland. And after that, when I saw it, I think it was 12 or 15 years ago, when I saw a guy from, was it Sweden or Finland, where he wore horns on his head and roared down a mic and a garish outfit, so I thought to myself, no, this is no longer a Eurovision Song Contest. I mean, Eurovision song. There was no lyrics. Last night, I was flicking over, like your previous contributor, to the Real Madrid-Man City match, and I have to say, some of the songs that I looked at, you know, that didn't get through, including the Irish, the guys did reasonably well. But again, you have, as I say, block voting. I think we need to get back to the old way of doing our national song contest with judges who know, who understand what lyrics and what songs that are required. Now, that goes for their other European countries as well. But I think when I saw last night, when you see guys in other pants and fluorescent coats or whatever they were wearing, jumping around a stage, I don't get it anymore. Maybe I'm getting old, but...
Well, the act you were talking about, the Finnish act that won, correct me if I'm wrong, Lordi, I think they won it with Hard Rock, Hallelujah. Is that the act you're talking about from a few years back?
I mean, I didn't understand them. I mean, maybe I'm just running... going back to the 60s, 70s, 80s, and even into the 90s, where we had decent talent that, you know, they weren't outrageous, wearing garish outfits, you know, it was staged and it was an actual song contest. Now it's no longer a song contest. It's, you know, you have all the psychedelic stuff going on in the background and your pyrotechnics and all of that. This is no longer a song contest. They may as well throw the hat in and give it a goodbye. That's the unfortunate thing. I mean, the Eurovision Song Contest has really, you know, has lost its credibility over the years. And anybody who says that we had, that all there was brilliant talent on there last night, no, there wasn't.
All right, well, let's hear some of that. You mentioned Finland. Let's hear Finland's entry from last night, which was a bit of hip-hop, a few pallets and two large packing cases. Go! Now, that was Karia from Finland. Cha-cha-cha, leather trousers, lime green bolero. The contents, as I say, of a logistics yard. Breed O'Byrne, what did you think of that? Was that's par for the course? It's a bit of crack.
Actually, that cha-cha, they got a lot of coverage there in the end, even with the presenters. You know, they got more coverage there. And your one, Hannah, and she was actually doing, you know, timing to the beat and all the rest, and she was saying cha-cha-cha. So I thought myself that was wrong. But anyway, because she was a presenter, she shouldn't have been doing that. But I'm just ringing to say that the five countries that did not win last night, they are all small countries, not big populations, and they haven't a hope because all the countries, big countries with big populations, seem to be voting for countries with a big population. And they haven't a hope now because it all has changed. Azerbaijan wasn't bad last night, and you know, they were like Ireland. And you think today that Ireland was the only country that lost. There are four others. And all I can say is Conor O'Donoghue and the other three in Wild Youth, they were excellent. I'm 80 years of age, and I hope they will do well in the future. And I hope that they're not sad today. They should get up and be strong, and we all learn from mistakes.
Here, here. And you think they would have got through if we were in a different semi-final? Go back to Owen's point.
Well, get back now to the four. They were too spread out on the stage. But now, Moldova got through. Oh, God, I said, when I saw your man doing a step like the Irish dance. I did learn Irish dancing. God, that's like an Irish step. And the next thing, the little leprechaun comes in playing the flute. Oh, my God, I said they're going to win. That's Irish coming in. We should have had something like that.
A leprechaun. I think Foster and Allen.
I think something different. But you see, they were bringing this in. It was a song contest. As far as I was concerned, it became all about acting and dancing and everything. What we had last night was somebody entering a song contest. They were very good, and that's it. It was a song contest, not a dancing. Not, you know, going on entertaining, doing the fool. Honest to God, when the fella took off his clothes and all that, oh, I said, it's time to give up. What next?
It's a good thing the moustaches were so big and the Croatian act, at least it covered some of what the clothes wasn't covering.
Oh, yeah. Well, anyway, that's what I have to say, and I hope that Conor O'Donoghue and his band, that they will do well in the future.
I'm sure they will, but look, Breda, do people just tune in at this stage to Eurovision for the crack, the party? The songs are only part of a few ingredients that people are tuning in for.
Yeah, but still, when people lose, they feel it, and you know they don't, and they did their best. I didn't like the outfit now, you know, and it was dark and everything. You need something bright.
The gold lamé suit, is it?
Oh yeah, it just came out very, you know, it was too dark, everything about it.
Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it wasn't lamé. It was glittery. I'm not very good. I'm not much of a seamster.
Yeah, well, I mean, what you wear to is very important. You know, in a show like that.
Robert Garvey, you didn't think Colin, the song. You didn't think the song. I'm good, thanks. You didn't think the song was up to scratch, did you?
Yeah. Firstly, you just put a mental picture of you in a gold leather suit. Now that's. Let's not go there, right? No, I think the song was just basically Eurovision by numbers. That's basically it.
What is Eurovision by numbers? I mean, because like if you gather what the winning trends have been, other acts could be seen as Eurovision by numbers as well.
Yeah, but it's no longer. The way I look at it is this: I mean, we live in a society where everything's instant. It's TikTok. That's where we're at. And listening, and I'm not complaining about what anybody said, but listen to some people, it sounds like they're talking like we're in black and white television days. That's not what it is anymore. You've got 3 minutes to impress people. That's what you're trying to do. It's no longer a song contest. They are correct in saying that, but that's the fact. It's no longer a song contest. It's a Eurovision. It's about what you see and what you hear in that 3 minutes that you have.
What impressed you most last night? You watched it,
Well,
you?
No. I like my music, and I really like the Netherlands song, which didn't get through. I do actually think Finland could win it, believe it or not. I think they'll outdo Loreen, and I think they'll actually win it. But that's just... I'm just throwing that out there. I expected them to qualify last night. I love Eurovision. Tried to get tickets to go over to it. Couldn't get tickets no matter how hard I tried. Loved it for years. But it's no longer just about a song. Yes, a good song can outshine everything else if it's a really good song. I think a lot of your callers have said that. But with the fact that we don't have the UK voting first, et cetera, et cetera, again, as somebody said, if you don't have that and you don't have the rest of the ingredients, you're going to lose out. You need to have a good song, but you need to have a good performance. You really need a good production. Production comes above everything now. How it looks and how it sounds in that 3 minutes and looks to the person who's got their phone in their hand. Remember, that's the people who are actually deciding what happens. The people that are pressing the buttons on the phone. Somebody else said earlier on as well, it's from the actual, the first stage. That's the first time you see the act. If you go online and you'll see as soon as the Late Late Show finishes, whatever act is qualified is up there and people are commenting straight away. I mean, like within minutes.
Do you have to be a bit weird then to become a talking point? Because you're talking about staging, you're talking about production.
No,
I know
I've said
this a few times already, but Finland's staging looked like something from a logistics yard. It was 27 pallets stacked up in two big packing cases. End
it actually off. Did. I was looking at the pallets. I can tell you they're 12 by 4 pallets. The dimensions of them. I can, or 12 by 8.
How much is a pallet? Go on. How much is a pallet? Do you know?
They're not expensive. They're not expensive. But you get pallets for free. No, but it's about staging. It really is about staging. There's all these various links in the chain. Yes, Dana can go back in the day and just sit there and sing a song, and that was fine. And we can do that. But that I don't believe that will win it for us unless it's a majestic song. A few years ago, the Netherlands sent a song which is two people. I can't remember what the name of the song is now. Oh, I do. Common Linnets. It came second in the end. It was a song with two people just facing each other, singing a song, sort of a country twang to it, and it came second because it was a brilliant song. And it needed to be brilliant to get above everything else that's going on. So yes, we can send an absolutely brilliant song, but it needs to be staged correctly, it needs to be produced correctly, and it needs to come across in 3 minutes to make somebody pick up their phone and send a text message. Nowadays, or whatever way they're going to vote on the app,
right,
people are too instant now, so it has to hit them instantly.
That's
not what we're doing.
Pat O'Neill, you think we should be looking for opinion outside the country, do you?
Yes, I do, Colm. And just listening to the show there, the guy with the 27 pallets and the guy with the underpants, they qualified, we didn't, okay? I spoke to five of my friends this morning in the EU, two of them in Finland, by the way, and they believe they're going to win it, okay? They said the Irish song was dead.
But would it have made any difference if we had had pallets and underpants?
I'll tell you what we need. We need Marky Marity and Jay Gould to go there as well, okay, Colm? So, on a serious note, Colm, the Eurovision has changed.
Throw everything we have at it. In his underpants or in the gold lamé suit?
Well, that you said that, no, Colm, not me, okay. But Colm, the last time
I can't suggest it to Marty in the office. I think I'd find myself quickly down in the HR office if I was making suggestions like that around the workplace.
With the director of sport. But Colm, 96 and 97, England and UK won it, okay. So since 1967, 2022, how many countries in the Baltic states have won the Eurovision? Do you know?
I haven't a clue. No, I'm not a Eurovision. I have to say, I'm not a Eurovision watcher.
I'm
nine in the Baltic states.
Yes, and the rest was Sweden, Germany. You had
Germany's a Baltic state as well. Germany is the northeast coast. That's in the Baltic.
I do indeed. I've been Finland. I was shortly. I do indeed. I know my Eurovision well, and I'll tell you one thing: Finland are going to win it.
Yep, I would agree.
100%.
Yeah. Actually, one other quick thing, Colm.
Robert Jen.
He was mentioned earlier on as well about Sam Ryder, who came second last year for the UK with a brilliant song. He was found on TikTok. That's where they got him. They didn't go and have the BBC One show doing a Late Late Show type thing. That's not where he came from. He came from TikTok. That's
but
exactly
if we look at what's
from
trended on TikTok, we're going to see a child playing with a cat sent to the Eurovision.
No, well, Sam Ryder's not a child in that. Sam Ryder's a guy writing some great pop songs. That's exactly what he is. And then performing them and singing them note perfect.
Fellas squeezing their spots. I mean, the things you see on TikTok.
I'm not a huge fan of Wild Youth, I'd say, but I'll give them their due. They did the best they could do.
You see a lot of Wild Youth on TikTok, that's for sure.
Yeah. No, but I am going to say this, and this is going to be slightly controversial,
go on,
so I'm going to say it now. He didn't sing the chorus of the song last night, just to say that out there. And I know you're saying he's putting the microphone out to the audience. That's not what it's about. He wasn't singing, and I'm not giving out about him at all, because I think that's the way it was done on the Late Late as well. And I thought the production that they got on the Late Late was possibly slightly better than some of the other acts, but that's another controversial thing.
You think his experience as a support act, as a stadium performer, he played to the crowd that was in the crowd. He wanted to entertain the people in front of him, but he didn't think of the people at home. Is that what you're thinking?
Possibly. But that's not his job, though. That's not his job. That's the job of the production team that go there, to actually make sure that what we see coming out is the best they can get out there. That's their job. His job is to do his piece. There's so many people involved in that. They all have to do their own job and do it to the top, to the nth degree, to make sure that what we see in that 3 minutes is going to make us pick up the phone and send a message. And you've got to do that, and you've got to do it the whole way through.
Lawrence Brophy,
I don't think the future is too bad. I think we can do it. There's a lot of new people coming through, and there's a lot of new talent out there, but it needs to be found.
Bit of TikTok and a few more sets of underpants. Lawrence Brophy, you think TG Carr do a good job selecting the junior?
Yeah, I think TG Carr do an incredible job. I think they need to do something like that. I think actually TG Carr should take it over if RTE don't. Like, this has happened so many times over the last few years. Like, they don't promote the act properly. They don't talk about it on Instagram. Even all, like, SVT for Sweden, UMK for Finland, they always promote them. But RTE never promote our act until the week of Eurovision or the week before. I just find it's going to happen again and again and again if something's not done about it, because every year it's the same. It's like we always talk about it the day after, or the few days after.
There's a fair bit of airplay goes on for the song as in terms of promoting it as a song on air, on radio.
On radio, I don't think I've been listening to radio for the last 5 months just to see if it was on.
It was on the Radio 1 playlist.
Yeah, it wasn't properly like promoted though, like as like the UK have done it. The UK literally put their song in the EastEnders. That's like May Muller has actually had the song in EastEnders for most of the last few months. So Fair City could have done that in the background, something more to engage the. A lot of people I know that wouldn't know that Wild Jute were actually like representing us. Only for me to tell them, because they were like, I wasn't on RTE properly. It was like in when we had the national final, it was like forgotten about. I think, in my opinion, I think it was forgotten about. I think in terms of what needs to be done is a proper national final, take it away from the Late Late Show completely.
All right.
The studio is not right. It's not right for like any sort of show like that.
John O'Brien, you think the politics don't matter. It comes down to the song, is it?
I think it's the whole production. I mean, the whole spectacle of Eurovision has evolved. It's no longer just a song contest. It's the whole visual. And if you don't embrace that, you're lost.
Did you watch it last night?
I did.
And what hit you visually? What was the visual hit for you in terms of the overall package?
Everything from costumes to dancing to, I mean, like, I actually thought that the Finnish entry was the best last night.
So you'd be backing them to win. Okay, we're back after this.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815. Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
Colm O'Mungine here, 51551 for your text, Joe at RTE for your emails. Well, Ireland didn't get through from the semi-final in Eurovision last night. Israel and Sweden did. Let's hear what Israel, an act that at least visually impressed people, let's hear what that act sounded like.
Hey, do you wanna check my DNA? All the stories time to go away. And believe in fairy tales, oh. I'm gonna stand you like a unicorn. Out here on my own, I got the power of a unicorn. Don't you ever learn.
Power of a unicorn there, that's Noah Kirel playing for Israel. Des White, whatever about unicorns, you think it's time to seize the bull by the horns and do something about Ireland's Eurovision entry, do you?
Indeed. I think we're dealing with the curse of Father Ted and my lovely horse. it's like the curse of Biddy Early. We have to break this.
What do you think caused it? I mean, when it comes to the curse of Biddy Early, you're dealing with an original sin there. So what's the original sin that triggered the curse?
Well, possibly Father Ted. But aside from that, I think that the solution to our problem is to look at our own musical traditions. Often when you listen to music, whether it's from Azerbaijan or any of the other countries, they have a Balkan rhythms or Middle Eastern rhythms. So these countries, they're not afraid to embrace their own traditional music and reinvent it. And I think that's the problem, is that we are moving off to somewhere in the mid-Atlantic or off onto some spectrum of what's called popular music, and we have lost our connection.
But there's somebody from Israel singing last night. She was singing in an American accent in, you know, a song you might hear in the charts any day of the week in any of those countries. There's nothing specifically Israeli about that music.
Perhaps just in that case, though, in the past, Israel has had quite a lot of Middle Eastern rhythms in their music. But, you know, we need to just balance out, you know, the performance that there's been a lot of talk of there. There's quite a lot of the entries were relatively straightforward and plain. The twins from Azerbaijan, the, you know, Switzerland, another which went for a sort of a ballad. We shouldn't be afraid to re-embrace our own music traditions. As you can see there, it's not all young people. We saw there were Croatians, you know, older men dressed up in dresses and whatnot.
Or not, as the case may be.
Or not as the case may be. But we can have certainly be much more confident about picking people from a wide spectrum of not just ages, background, but musical traditions.
All right. The traditional music artist Dervish were an Irish entry in 2007 in a song that was written, I think, by John Waters and Tommy Moore, and They Can't Stop the Spring, with Irish elements in it. And we finished 24th.
This is where I had said to your researcher, we need to bring on Wexford's Pierce Turner. We need singer-songwriters who've been around for a long time, who've engaged with a wide range of styles of music, to help us craft something that's popular, catchy, but also, you know, plays to our strengths.
All right. Ray Byrne, you think the format of the semi-finals is the problem?
Yeah, I was just speaking to your researcher there, and really and truly, we're actually having two semi-finals. To put through 30 people with the five that's already there, we're losing 10. And really, when you add up the numbers and the minutes, it's only 30 minutes extra to put the whole lot in together, a huge extravaganza on a Saturday night. It's taking now a week. You know what I mean? Maybe I'm just doing the numbers. But, like, to lose five last night and five, it's 10. They're bringing all the entourages of all those people over to the Liverpool last night. And to have them there Tuesday, probably Thursday, and I just think for 30 minutes extra to put them all through, that's the only way I think we'll qualify ever again.
And do you think people would stick with it? I mean, it may be half an hour of music, but there's the in-betweeny bits, there's the video, there's the ad breaks.
You could have that all done in about 3.5 hours.
And would you stick with it for 3.5 hours?
Yes. Yeah. Well, you're watching it since you're young,
What did you...
Not young anymore, but it's a disappointment for children and that it belonged to you. And, you know, going, oh my God, we're going to get it.
So who are you watching for the final now?
Who are we watching? Portugal and Switzerland.
Portugal and Switzerland, right.
Well, we go to holiday to Portugal, obviously. So we just do the thing you pick up yourself, you know.
All right,
the boys did grand last night. We thought they did okay.
All right.
And, like, really and truly. And then who arrives on the thing and they're messing in the end? Dustin. What was that about? Like, you know what I mean?
Maybe
going to garner votes. Really, we missed the English vote last night, I'd say.
Right. Do you think Dustin affected our vote? Do you think that was reminding people of past sins? You don't. All right.
If you take the minutes out and take the little bit of the interaction and all that.
All right.
You really probably need an act, something similar to the river dance.
Okay. Lorcan Curran, you think the whole show is the problem?
I think it's a joke, Colm, the whole show. I was looking at it there. I was very disappointed the Irish singles didn't get through. I think it's kind of rigged as well, in a way. I was saying it'd be good if they sent something like Riverdance, a production like that, get them all together. In
right, it's been 29 years since Riverdance danced at halftime in the Eurovision.
Get something like that there, with singer and Irish music in it. That's something that we lack. We haven't got enough confidence in sending our own music there to the national.
All right. See, as we didn't get through, who are you backing for the final?
Maybe I'd say Sweden. Maybe, yeah.
All right. Okay. Well. All right. We'll give people a sample of Sweden after this.
Okay. Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815. Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
All right, Cullum O'Mungoyne here. And Ireland didn't go through last night. Sweden did. It was mentioned before the break. Let's hear how they did. What their winning formula was. Until we meet again. Because this is not the end of it. Will come a day when we will find our way. Well, we didn't find our way, unfortunately, into the next round. Mairead, good afternoon to you. You think we should be throwing everything Irish at this? Spoons, bowerons, illan pipes, the whole shooting gallery.
Yes, Colm, definitely. Something traditionally Irish. There's nothing Irish about our entry for this year.
Except,
I mean, river dance is still going strong. People in the northern European countries love our kind of music. If I'm saying the right thing, like all the traditional Irish music play over there, groups.
But what we did have winning ways, you know, we had Johnny Logan in a white suit, we had Man in a Gold Suit last night. What's the, you know, maybe that has become, tradition is part of our musical tradition.
There's no comparison with Johnny Logan and last night. I mean, that was a beautiful ballad, and those kind of songs were in at the time when he was on. It wasn't the madness that goes on now.
All right. Paddy Behan, what did you think of it? You're watching it a good while as well. I'm also a Johnny Logan fan, are you?
I am, yes, because we had Johnny Logan down here in Naas back in 1978, a few months before he won. But anyway, what I think...
Was that what won it for him?
I hope so. but I would like to say that we are going the wrong way about it. It's not a song contest anymore. It's a fashion show, and it's who looks the best and whatever. And we also, do you know what has happened since we won last? Smartphones, mobile phones, every type of fast communications have come into being. So we've lost all my generation and all even younger generations who don't vote anymore because they don't see any relevance in the song that they've presented.
We're not keeping up with the times. Okay, we're back after this.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815. Joe Duffy. Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
That's our lot from today. From me, Cullum O'Mungoyne, from Jamie Doyle on sound, broadcast coordinator was Shane Galvin, and the producer was Sian O'Gorman. Ray Darcy, wearing all his clothes, is next.
0818 715 815 stays open until 3:15 p.m. or email joe@rte.ie.